RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes. This week, Josh, I want to offer you something very special. I would like you to become Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, thanks very much, but I can't become Ra's al Ghul.
That's good, because I'm offering you to become Ra's al Ghul.
I don't want to be Ra's al Ghul.
No, you see, you're not understand. All right, forget that. We'll come back to that later. I don't. All right. Anyway.
Okay.
Why don't we just
my free stuff?
Yeah. Well, we'll find out about what you get here in just a second. But why don't you tell everybody about the episode that we're covering tonight?
All right. Well, this is The Offer, which is episode 16. It aired on March 8th, 2015, and it was written by Beth Schwartz and Brian Ford Sullivan, directed by Dermot Downs. Have you ever wanted to own your deadly League of Assassins? You'll get a private hideaway, a beautiful cloak, and an impressive serpent ring. But wait, there's more. You also get this set of razor-sharp scimitars. Not satisfied yet? How about a Lazarus Pit of Healing and Life Extension? All for the low, low price of giving up being the Arrow.
Ooh,
this
yeah.
is Ooh. An offer you can't refuse. Literally. Yeah. Oliver might be just contemplating this too, because, you know, seeing as how everything's all messed up, Thea's, she's wigging out, you know, sending her father to his death and now letting him, you know, crash at her pad.
Well, and, that's how it goes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Captain Lance, he's decided to not be nice to him anymore because he lied to him about Sarah. And also because all the, you know, criminals that he captured are now all free and killing people again and sewing their mouths shut and stuff, you know. Exactly right. So will Oliver start thinking clearly about this, you know? Should he actually think about possibly taking this offer? Can anyone convince Oliver what he should... Oh, hi, Felicity. How you doing?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be okay. Relatively speaking.
Yeah. It's all going to be okay, you know, in quotes.
Yeah,
there you go. It's going to be, howba? I believe it's going to be okay. Howba?
Is that it? Is that it? I'm not very good at Chinese.
Mandarin? Yeah.
Mandarin, yeah. Howba?
I think that's what it was. Well, I got a couple pieces of news this week. It's first off, welcome back. It's been a few weeks since we were here last, so it's cool to see you, and by you I mean the little squiggly lines that imitate your voice here on my computer screen. So.
Oh, thank you very much. What about my flashing icon? Is that good too?
Oh, it looks beautiful. Yeah,
thank you.
So Mark Guggenheim, who's one of the executive producers of the show, will be doing some writing actually for Marvel Comics. This April, he will be writing Daredevil number 15.1.
Wow, they've really changed the numbering systems in comics.
Yeah. Well, normally they go by integers, but every now and again they throw in like a bonus issue or something. I don't know why they do it as like a 0.1 instead of making it like a special, like, you know, like Daredevil special number 1 or Daredevil special 19 or 2015 or something like that. Hmm. Also, this summer, they are doing a Secret Wars series, kind of bringing back the series that they had done back in, like, 1986 or 84 or whenever it was. And he will be writing two tie-ins for that, one called Extinction Agenda and the other one called Squadron Sinister. So if you are a fan of Mr. Guggenheim's writing, please be sure to check those out. I think it was about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago now, Arrow was at Paley Fest, which is the Paley Center for Media, and they have a They have a conference and interview portion with lots of different television shows. Arrow was there. Flash was there. This was something Arrow was at last year as well, which you can see on their Blu-ray. And it was like a 45-minute panel with pretty much everybody from the cast plus the producers there. And they talked about, you know, they just, you know, had questions about what was going to happen in the next part of the season. Without really having any spoilers, there were some fan questions that were asked. And there was also a two and a half minute teaser that kind of shows a bunch of the things from the last half of the season here. A number of things from this particular episode, The Offer, but a whole bunch of other stuff. And if you watch it, buyer beware, because there is major spoiler warnings attached to that.
Yes, and not just little things either, like huge plot-changing, game-twisting, crazy things happening, at least potentially. I did, you know, sometimes they edit those things to make it seem like maybe something's happening that actually doesn't happen.
You mean so when Ra's al Ghul said, sorry, when Ra's al Ghul said, "I am your father," that probably was just like from editing, that it really wasn't him saying he was his father?
No, I think that part was true, but
okay.
You know. I noticed even in this one, there was a scene where there was a lot of other stuff that we haven't seen yet that, you know, could be troubling for Oliver. But then right after that, they put the scene where he said, you know, maybe I should become Ra's al Ghul. That was from this episode.
Right.
So,
right.
So anyway, you know, it's all, it doesn't matter. I mean, all this stuff's going to happen eventually, and it did look exciting no matter what context it was in.
What interests me the most is, why did they choose to show some of this stuff that was particularly spoilerific, especially if you hadn't seen The Offer? Imagine you were at PaleyFest and you saw this, and there was a lot of reveals, and one of even like the kicker reveals in our episode this week was teased in this trailer. And so with all the other stuff they've shown, does that mean that they're confident that they've got bigger surprises and that they're willing to let this stuff slip out?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I mean, they're usually pretty protective about that stuff, you know, so I'm guessing that there's even bigger things for people to be surprised about.
I still have to give them big kudos for not letting anyone reveal that when Moira died, that was just so amazing that had not gotten out on social media. It's how much people respect the show, I guess, that work on it. So
that's a good point. You know, I think you're right too.
So
at least it seems to be.
Now you found this next piece of information. I'm guessing Steven posted this information on Facebook.
Yeah, just today, actually, as we're recording it anyway.
Oh, okay.
I think that's where I saw it on Facebook. But Steven is, you know, Steven owns a wine company, Knocking mm-hmm. Point Wines.
Yeah.
He's holding a little shindig, I guess. Like they call it a wine mixer. I don't really know what that is. But
it's like cooler, but it's, you know, a little stronger, I think.
Yeah, I'm not a big drinker, so I don't go to a lot of these things. But I'd go to this. Hey, if I lived in Philadelphia, I was going to be around there. It's Sunday, May 10th, and 5 p.m. at, I don't know, Union Transfer Philly, if you know where that is. You can look this up and get all the information. But the cool thing is that you get to kind of hang out with, you know, Stephen Amell. He's going to be there. And Andrew, yes.
Who is his partner in Knocking Point, I believe.
Yeah, and when I say hang out, I'm sure you'll get to see him, possibly say hi if you're not too creepy and stalkerly, whatever. But either way, it would be kind of cool to be at a party he was at. It does cost $100, which to me doesn't seem like very much, really. I don't know.
I mean, you get food, wine, a number of different wines, if you're really into that. And, you know, it's like a three-hour shindig, so that's probably not too bad. And,
yeah.
Yeah, now, granted, yeah, you'll be at this with Steven and, you know, probably, I don't know, 400 or 500 of your closest friends.
That would be my guess, too.
But this is really for Knocking Point Winery. I mean, they said they're going to have some Q&A about the organization and their new show, Dudes Being Dudes in Wine Country. So it probably would be frowned on to be showing up in your you know, in your Black Canary costume asking questions. Well, maybe if you wore the Black Canary costume, you could ask them questions. But if you showed up in your Captain Lance costume or something like that, maybe he wouldn't be take so kindly to, you know, arrow questions, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not. I don't know. I'll try the Black Canary ones. I'll show up in that and see how it goes.
Okay. You should wear that to the next thing that I'm going to talk about, which is that you and I will be attending Star Wars Celebration in Anaheim. And so, you know, people dress up in costumes when they come to that. Now, granted, it's usually more Star Wars related costumes, but, you know, it's...
I could do a mashup.
Oh, like...
You know what I mean?
Arrow Jedi, Jedi Arrow.
Yeah, something like that. You know, grab a lightsaber, put some fishnets on, something like that. I think it'd work.
So if you guys are a fan of the podcast and you're going to be out there, look around for us. We'll probably have some more information as we get closer to the show. It'll be kind of mid-April, the 16th through the 19th at the Anaheim Convention Center. And if you find us, we might just have something interesting for you if you know what we look like. Yeah, I haven't really thought this through. How are people going to know us?
Well, I'll be wearing the fishnets.
Oh, well, of course. Right. So just and
no,
then
I probably
look
won't.
For the guy that's hanging out with the guy that's wearing the fishnets, I guess. So,
yeah, we're going to get lots of people approaching us now.
Or there's going to be some random guy wearing fishnets and they're going to be like, Josh, I want stuff. And this guy's going to be like, what?
I feel like we're getting ready to experience an interesting story. No, how are they going to know us? That's a good question.
Well, I guess we'll have to come up with some information and just keep listening to the podcast to find that or check it out on social media and we'll come up with something there.
Absolutely.
All right. So The Offer, that is our episode for this week. Wow. Episode 16. There's like 7 episodes left in this season.
No.
I'm sorry. Did I spoil it? I have no idea where they're going with the end of the season here. I mean, it seems like there's so many different things going on, but I'm feeling less and less like Amanda Waller is going to step out of the shadows in the present day and reveal herself. Can I change my prediction for the season?
Oh, you can change your prediction, of course.
I'm pretty sure Ra's al Ghul is just really much, he's the bad guy. And I don't know if he's really a bad guy in the same way that we've had like Malcolm Merlyn and Slade. This season has been set up in kind of an entirely different way. It's, he's not so much of a bad guy as just, a very strong character that is offering Oliver an alternative outlook. He's like an evil Amway salesman, basically, is what he is. So he's made this offer at the end of the last episode is that, you know, you should take over as Ra's al Ghul. And of course, everybody's like, what? But why do you think why is Ra's really making this offer? There's stuff, you know, that's revealed in the episode here, but is that what do we believe, I guess, or what do you believe?
What do I believe about why he really is making the offer?
Yeah, because I mean, I think there's conflicting. You get a lot of information. You have Ra's saying one thing. You have Oliver believing something else. You've got and then kind of the you know, the other little birdie on Oliver's shoulder is Malcolm, who's got, you know, all sorts of truthful things to say. He's one of those. I'm starting to believe that they're writing him kind of like a Sith character in the Star Wars films, that he's a bad guy, but he always tells the truth and nobody ever believes him because I was listening to everything he was saying in here. I don't think he was really trying to pull the wool over anybody's eyes. He was just stating either what he thought or what he knew or something like that. But I'm just wondering what you thought, like, what Ra's ulterior motive is here.
Well, I do kind of think he's doing what Nissa accused him of. I do think he's kind of punishing her a bit. At least it feels like it. I don't know why otherwise he would pick Nissa over Oliver unless he was that impressed that Oliver survived the fight earlier in the season.
Well, do you believe that Malcolm's point that a man who Like, do you think there really is a saying or a, you know, prophecy that a man who survives a fight with the blade of Ra's al Ghul will become Ra's al Ghul?
Do I believe him? What do you think? Yeah. He's just like making it up? Well, like just telling Oliver that to.
Yeah. I mean, or, you know, like, is he a plant? I don't know. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that could be going on, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems suspicious why he's given it up. And the reason I say that is, you know, he told Oliver that the pool wasn't, what did he say? It wasn't, you know, healing him as much anymore. It's not as effective, or I don't remember exactly how he said it, but,
right.
But I tell you, you know, he got that injury on his hand from Nyssa when she attacked him, and it just healed right up instantly. I mean, unless he was used to having it go faster or something. I don't know.
I think it's just a big pool of Bactine. It would sting, but
a little Neosporin towel and just, yes. I don't know if he doesn't seem weak. He doesn't seem like he's having problems. I mean, not that they've shown anyway.
And that is a good point, yeah. Because he did say that he wasn't regenerating as well. I mean, you know, obviously he looks older, right? I mean, if he's been doing this a while, we can assume he probably was not, you know, whatever, in his 40s when he first took over. And so there's, you know, he's slowly aging, right? It's the pool may not be having the same regenerative effects on him. But, like, you're right, it did seem to heal his wound pretty quickly.
Well, and I don't see his motivation for giving this kind of power, this kind of honor to Oliver. I mean, not that Oliver is a bad guy or even a bad. Well, I don't know about it being a bad choice. I'll come back to that. But
okay.
About him, I mean, he's not that close with Oliver. He knows a little bit about Oliver, unless something's gone on in the flashbacks that we haven't seen yet. You know, as far as, you know, maybe a year or two down the line, but even that, I don't know why he would offer it to Oliver specifically.
So he offers Oliver the job, you know, hey, you can take over my company. You know, let's just look at it that way. Right. In kind of terms that Oliver might have as a background, you can take over my company. I'm going to let you think about the offer. Well, you're not really sure? Okay, cool. You can go home and sleep on it. You know what? I'm going to give you your friends back too. And, you know, Ra's al Ghul's giving this whole sense of, like, free will. Like, there's a choice in it. But basically what Maseo comes out at the end of the episode and says, oh, you know, why did it take so long for you to make this decision? You know, that's not usually kosher. And Oliver's like, oh, no, I'm not going to do this. He's like, oh, you misunderstand. It's not really an offer for you to take it. I mean, like, when the offer is made, you accept, right? There isn't a choice in the whole matter, which is what Malcolm's told him in this, that he says, Ra's al Ghul doesn't offer, he orders, and don't believe that you actually have a choice in the matter. And at that point, Oliver is just, you know, whatever, stop flapping your gums. But Maseo basically confirms that at the end. So if the offer is meant to test Oliver and he knows Oliver's going to refuse, then I don't understand the purpose of the test, especially given the final scene with Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. Well, everything that you just said is my reason to think that there's something else going on, that this offer is not, you know, a legitimate offer from Ra's al Ghul, that I don't think he really does want him to take over. Now, because of everything you just said, right, and because, like earlier I said, you know, he's a worthy candidate with the exception of, you know, in the comics and even in the Batman movie and everything, you know, Ra's al Ghul's always traditionally been a character that is willing to do anything to get what he thinks is right, which is, you know, quite often widespread death, you know?
Right, right.
and he knows Oliver's not going to do that. He knows he's not. I mean, even if Oliver just became just an assassin again and started killing people as he fought him, I mean, that's still not even really up to par of being Ra's al Ghul. So you said a test, and I think it is a test, but I don't think it's a test for Oliver. I think it's a test for Nyssa.
Interesting.
I think he's, you know, she thought she deserved it. She thought she'd earned it. You know, she's his daughter. So he's offering it to somebody else to test her or you know, lead her down the path of her acquiring this mantle on her own instead of just being handed to her.
Right, because, I mean, and she was really upset about it, which is something we had talked about the other week, or, you know, before the break, on, you know, what's Nyssa going to think when she finds out that the offer was made to Oliver. What about, that is really interesting. I hadn't actually taken it that far yet in my head, so I like that idea a lot. The other thing that I'm seeing Roz doing, because if he is not necessarily sincere about the offer. You know, I mean he sounds sincere, but if he does know that Oliver is going to refuse it, he's also said a number of other things to Oliver, which Oliver takes with him back to Starling City. Roz says that, you know, your city will turn on you, your police force will turn on you, and you will be hunted down and killed like the vigilante that you are, and die alone. You know, the way you started this whole crusade. And, you know, Oliver's like, wow, it's like he got into my, or like he, what is it? He's like, he read my future or something like that. But what I really think he's doing, he's getting into Oliver's head for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and, totally. Right. He made him second guess himself, you know, the decision to say no to him throughout the entire episode.
Right. Well, but what I think it also did is it strengthened, well, it may or may not have really strengthened his convictions, but it made Oliver at least think about why is he doing what he's been doing, right? So the whole season he's been looking to figure out who is Oliver Queen and who is the Arrow and how can one coexist with the other. And Roz puts all this stuff to him saying that, you know, he is, you know, there's... the League and Oliver are both interested in the same thing. They're interested in justice, but they both have a different way of going about it. And wouldn't it be better for Oliver to serve justice on a global scale rather than on this small city scale? And it takes Oliver, you know, the entire episode to figure out that, well, you know, really I'm doing this to right the wrongs that my dad, you know, put out on the city here. But I still feel that what Roz did, just getting into his head, he's setting him up for something, but I don't know, like we just don't have enough information to figure out, I think at this point, what that something is. But I feel like, you know, does Ra's al Ghul want to take over the city? Because, let me just jump to the end then, when he shows up dressed up as Green Arrow, and kills three of these four guys and then tells the fourth one to run off and tell everybody what he saw. And of course the guy's not going to run back and go, hey, Ra's al Ghul's dressed up as the Arrow, right? He's going to say the Arrow or the vigilante or whatever came in and killed a bunch of guys. And so that's going to turn the city against him, or turn the criminal element, you know, churn that back up on Oliver. And, you know, Oliver's already kind of screwed over his relationship with Lance. So that's souring. So, you know, Roz is kind of working at Oliver from both sides. I can only imagine that, you know, really he's just kind of dressed up and came in to do that, to kind of get the ball rolling. I don't really see him running around doing that a lot, I guess. I don't know if I didn't know if you had a different take on that
on what he's doing. I actually, it's hard to talk about that because of that trailer. I think it was the trailer, unless it was the preview for next week. I think his plan is bigger than just Ra's al Ghul running around and pretending he's the Arrow. But I think it is to make Oliver kind of want this, to kind of stop being the Arrow and maybe go off and do something else and be Ra's al Ghul. And Nyssa's still in town. Nyssa's still there. And
yeah, she's just hanging out. She changed out of her League of Assassins. This is the first time I think we've seen her not in her League of Assassins gear.
Yeah. I don't know. Not as hot, really.
Just good. Hey, just want to go out to dinner? Sure. We'll go out and talk about our crazy fathers.
Where do you think they went?
I don't know, like
P.F. Chang's or something.
That's what I was just about to say.
I don't know why that just fit. It just, I don't know.
Yeah,
it just
P.F. Chang's
to work.
Seems right. Yeah, no, that's good.
Maybe
it's not microbiotic or something. You know, it's not that fancy food that's really small that you need a microscope to see. How about this with Oliver? I had something else going.
Well,
and then...
well, let me finish my thought. So Nyssa's still there. Nyssa's still in town, and I'm fairly certain Ra's would know that. Can we call him Ra's? Is that cool, Ra's?
Yeah.
So he not only does he start convincing Oliver that maybe he should not do this. He also punishes Oliver for not making a decision, not dying, Sarah dying, whatever. Take your pick. He could punish him for a lot of things, you know, in his mind anyway. But he also is sort of mixing it up in the situation with Oliver that Nyssa would have to be thinking about it, maybe step in, maybe, you know, do something. So she's still going to be involved in this. That's why I'm really leaning towards it being a test for Nyssa.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I mean, I really like that idea that he's giving the test to his daughter by making things miserable for Oliver here. That's
yeah,
because you know Oliver is everybody's whipping boy. It seems like when it comes down to that, but that's the point. He's the hero the city needs, right? He's the one that is there to take this, and you know. Not necessarily get the thank you, you know, he gets the realization too that, you know, I don't need to have a thank you. And he goes and thanks the people that work with him. What if it's this though? What if Ra's is testing Oliver training Oliver. So, they have a battle together and he's like, wow, this guy is pretty good. I think that, you know, maybe he could take over for me, but even if he doesn't take over for me, maybe he needs a little push. And, you know, like those crazy coaches that just kind of go too far when they push their athletes. Well, maybe he's doing the same thing. Maybe he is engineering all of this to push Oliver, to push himself to become a better hero and, you know, change the way that Oliver, you know, make sure Oliver is doing this for the right reasons. Why are you doing this, Oliver? I don't know why I'm doing this. Well, why are you doing it if you don't know what you're doing it for? So first you got to come up with that answer and then, you know, really put his feet to the fire and test. Not like he hasn't been tested the last two seasons. I mean, you know, I mean, if he didn't want to do this, he had plenty of time to get out of it. But
so are you saying that Ra's is trying to just make him a better, stronger hero? Or like that's a possibility?
Yeah. I'm wondering if that might be it. You know, just to make things as difficult as possible to put him through another gauntlet, a stronger gauntlet to, you know, make him a stronger hero.
What would his motivation for that be though?
Maybe he really does want Oliver to take over, but the first offer is not really the offer. Or the offer is the offer. And, you know, it's not an offer, it's an order. And Oliver says, no, well, okay, so I'm going to push you to become a stronger hero to make you feel confident that you actually can accept the offer from me. Because then when I come back to you again and I'm going to offer it to you again, then you're going to want to take it.
I may someday need a favor from you.
Yeah. So, and, you know, maybe there'll be a... horse's head in a bed somewhere. So I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm just, there's something that's up and I'm just kind of fishing around for, you know, some other potential reasons here.
Yeah, no, so. those are all interesting and good reasons, and they fit what we have seen and what we know so far. But what we can, what we both agree on, I think, is that something's fishy, and Ra's al Ghul is not acting within his character. You know, letting him leave, and it just seems off. It just seems off, and I think it's intended to be off. I don't think it's like bad writing or anything. I think
these guys know what they're doing. They're setting stuff up here.
Oh, for sure.
We also find out Oliver's Arabic name is Al-Sahim. That would be the arrow in Arabic, I guess.
Hmm.
Which
they
I think...
They just call him Al.
Al, can I call you Al? Be yourself. So I think that will be important that he has that name at some point later in the season. I'm just... They seem to throw these things out, and I don't know why Roz would give him that name if it wasn't going to be used. I mean, because you know they have Canaries, you know, got the Canaries got her name, Malcolm's got his name, Nissa's got her name, Ra's al Ghul obviously.
Maseo had a name.
Yeah, oh that's right, Maseo as the whatever he is, the shark. No, I forget what he is, the weasel.
I think he was the ponytail.
That's... So, well, while we're talking about the League of Assassins still, so he makes this offer, and then he kind of shows Oliver around. He's like, look at this palace, right? We got the big, you know, a big candlelit meal here. You can have all this food. Look at all these people that'll fight for you. And it's like, not really just fight for you, but die for you, which... Goodness sakes, Oliver has enough problems with killing as it is already, and now you're saying you're going to have an army of people that are willing to die for you? I mean, he's got that. It's just on a bigger level. I mean, I think he's got that. I feel like a number of the people that he works with, well, some of them are actually more eager to die right now than others. Thea, looking at you.
They're a little more emotionally unstable, I think, than Roz's people.
And they are not as well trained.
No.
You really need to be trained further. When are you going to stop telling me that?
But they're better dressed, though, so it's all good.
Yeah, exactly. So, but one of his warriors, let's say, has a misstep and is put in a position that they might get killed. So Roz steps in and corrects this, you know, helps this warrior up. And corrects them, showing them, you know, telling them how to stand and move their feet and stuff like this. And Maseo had a look like, oh, no, Roz is going to go in. Because we had seen in a previous episode in a training exercise, it's like a guy had a misstep and Roz was like, all right, now you've got to kill him, you know, for making that mistake. But in this case, Roz doesn't kill this individual. He lets them go. Did that seem... off to you in any way, or was that just sort of a training montage?
Well, no, it's a montage. It surprised me a lot because I thought that person was going to die as well, just given the, you know, past history of what we've seen. And why show it if it wasn't important?
Aha!
I did come up with a reason for that. I guess it still would be important, but no, I don't actually believe this is the reason, but it's just another option. He was showing Oliver that he has options, that he doesn't have to be murderous, that he doesn't have to kill when it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I came up with that as an option, but I don't really believe that myself. So,
right, because everything we've seen to date when but Roz is kind of showing off, right, at that point. He's, like you said, he's showing off for Oliver to show him that he has these options. So even though we hadn't seen Roz show that kind of compassion in the past, doesn't mean that it's not something that he exercises, you know, so that, I mean, he might do that every now and again.
Yeah.
But what was interesting to me is this did not appear to be a male, just given the kind of the eyes that we could see through the garb.
Agreed.
And I will post a picture up on our Facebook page in our episode screen caps directory there. But I believe that that individual, are you sitting down, is Shadow. And I only believe that because they have Shadow show apparently showing up in Hong Kong, about a year after she was supposedly shot in the head and buried on Lian Yu. That place is purgatory. Nobody who dies on there stays dead. Oh, crap. That means Robert's going to come back.
I'm just realizing. He wasn't on the island technically, though, when he died.
Oh, that is true. Technically, he did not die on the island. Okay. Anyway. Oh.
And I guess that was almost exactly a year, at least, you know, by show standards, wasn't it?
Oh, you know what? I think it was the 13th episode last season. I'm going to take a quick peek here while you say that you like that reasoning.
I like that reasoning. Are you done yet? No, I agree with you. And when I hadn't put that together when I first saw the warrior, right? And then you mentioned something being about her, and I totally bought into it. I completely think that that's who it is.
I think she's
alive. Now that changes. Well, I guess Oliver doesn't necessarily know that she's alive in present day, but he did meet her, in
5 years ago,
past day.
So the flashbacks are always 5 years ago. So
right, and so, but that completely changed. He knew that she was alive, assuming it's her. That completely changes how I will look at every way he deals with
Slade.
Slade. Anytime I watch those episodes again. Now, in my mind, when I saw her in the flashbacks there, I also thought this. Okay, well, maybe he doesn't. Maybe in another flashback at some future show that's going to be on, she dies, or at least he thinks she dies. So
again. Or it's reacting. A sister.
Well, yeah, same thing with Sarah. He thought Sarah was dead in the past.
Everybody. And Thea even points out she didn't know if Oliver was dead again in this episode. So it's now become kind of a joke about, you know, every time he goes away, they don't know if he's dead or he's coming back. So
Thea's going to ask Nyssa to kill her, she should have gone to Lian Yu first. Then she could have died,
yep,
been killed for her punishment, but still been okay.
Yeah.
It all works out.
So Shadow died in Three Ghosts, which was episode 9 last season.
Oh, okay.
So, which almost was right before the spring break, right before the winter break, I mean.
All right. Well, so a little more than a year, but pretty close.
Yeah. Not too bad. So anyway, I've got a comparison up, and because it's kind of close-ups, you can look and see if the eyebrows and the eyes on these two characters, on Shadow and on this warrior character, appear to match up. I'll be interested to see what the listeners think about that idea. Again, why show it if it doesn't mean something? It's always written in there for some reason. Mm. I guess kind of the remainder of the episode is made up of everybody else's sub-stories. And it's really about daughters and their fathers. Taking the advice of John Mayer, fathers, be good to your daughters. Daughters will love like you do. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers, so mothers, be good to your daughters too. But we don't see any mothers in this because most of them are dead as well. So we've basically.
Why am I laughing at that? What? That's a horrible thing to laugh at. I apologize.
Me, who has no daughters, and you, who has a couple, you know, that's you're just realizing the truth in this.
I'm training them to be strong.
Yeah. Have you offered one of them the chance to become Ra's al Ghul yet? Yeah, of your household at least.
Not yet. You know, school, they got to get their grades up first, man. I mean, really, that's the truth.
No, it's totally fair. That's totally fair. And you have your little Lazarus whirlpool in your bathroom there.
It's actually just a kiddie pool out back.
It's kiddie pool.
You know, those little plastic ones you get at Toys R Us. Those. But we call it Lazarus, though, so it's okay.
Well, the I think one of the main ones here, obviously, was Thea. And the one line that really struck me as prophetic or interesting here, especially given what's going on in the rest of the Arrow universe over in the Flash timeline and everything like that. Uh-huh. Thea basically wishes that she never knew Malcolm was her dad, because it's brought her nothing but pain and heartache. She has wished that she had like stabbed him 3 times and snapped his neck twice or something like that. How do you think, because Thea was thinking back about before she had met Malcolm or before she knew Malcolm was her dad. Think back to how the character was at the beginning of like the first season. And do you think she would have been better off than where she is now, not knowing?
Well, yeah.
You think she would have been better off?
I mean, better off? So are you just saying so she's like still basically the spoiled little rich kid, that kind of thing?
I don't know. That's what she was trying to go through that, she was all mopey about it, right? And, I don't know if she thinks that her mother wouldn't be dead or what, but she seems to just want to make everything go back like it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think she's just, you know, that's just a kind of dreaming. You know, anytime something bad happens to people, they always kind of wish that. But, not knowing, I don't think it would have changed her mother, because I think Slade would have killed her mother anyway. That really didn't have anything to do with Malcolm.
Right, right.
So I don't necessarily think I don't know, her mother. I just think she just doesn't want to deal with the burden, you know? I think she just doesn't want to know, because she'd rather be naive and happier rather than so miserable all the time and guilty and, you know, unknowingly killing people and things like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, knowledge is pain in a lot of cases, you know, because if you can blissfully ignore what's going on in the world, it's sometimes it's easier to be stupid and happy than know what's going on and realize that you're powerless to do anything about it. I think she's in a much better place than she was. I mean, just primarily, granted, he's a sociopath, but Malcolm gave her a set of skills that she can, you know, that really come in handy in life, right? I mean, you know, she's fit. She, you know, can protect herself mostly, except for, you know, post-coitally with DJs. You know, that might be her kryptonite. Or maybe
post-coitally with DJs.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be the name of my band.
ostensibly it's her knowing Malcolm has healed this rift between her and Oliver. A lot of pain in that entire process, but life is pain. I mean, that's an aspect that this show kind of, you know, shows you. If these characters aren't feeling pain, they're not living, and that's, you know, physical pain and or emotional pain. I think it's like you said, it's kind of that wishful thinking, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of, you know, being mopey about it and everything like that. And then she ends up running back to Roy, which, I don't know. That's, I don't want, I was going to say it's messed up, but it's not, I guess.
Is it messed up? Cause I was thinking finally.
It's a relatively healthy relationship at this point, I guess. I mean, they've had their time apart.
He doesn't have any more lies to tell her. So, you know,
yeah.
I mean, she knows everything now, so there's no sense in him having to lie, which was her big sticking point, you know? I mean, he would...
Right, that everybody keeps lying to me.
Yeah, she didn't know what was going on, and he kept lying to her, so...
Right. So it's a healthier relationship there. I don't know. Now we're going to find something out about Roy that is going to, oh no, can't have Thea. That it's like, it's Malcolm's other son or something. I don't know what they're going to tell us there.
Oh geez.
But I mean, that's, I think also Thea's gone from a character that, really had some problems, similar to some of the issues that we've talked about with Laurel, just that really the character didn't have much to do, and they're really giving her a lot of screen time with things to do. Some of it's a little goofy, like the whole kind of crazy breakdown she had with Nyssa, even after Nyssa's like, you know what, it's not my job to kill you. And besides, Malcolm was the one that, you know, needs to sever the life or the blood debt or whatever. And she's just, no, you got to kill me. Kill me, kill me, kill me, kill me, kill me. And this is like, no. And she's like, please kill me. And then she's, you know, she's kind of taken on her dad, even like she was going to stab him or something like that. But I think if she had done it, it would have been half-hearted and he would have had to defend himself. Again, it's, I think she needs to go see a doctor, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some problems there.
She needs help.
Yeah.
She's had some emotional trauma in the last couple of years.
Yeah, maybe, and maybe it'll do her good to have some support from Roy. We'll see. It probably will not, actually, just, you know, given the nature of the show, because that's the way that it all works, but... It'll at least grow the character a little bit. And then speaking of Nyssa, Nyssa's having problems with her dad. She actually should be getting frequent flyer miles, I think, now for all of her trips back and forth from Starling City to Nanda Parbat. But, you know,
how
we talked about
it. How far is Nanda Parbat? Because it doesn't seem like it takes her very long to get there.
It's in the, what did they say, the Tibetan or the Himalayan Kush? I think it's on the border to Afghanistan with China, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not very up on my Asian geography, but I believe it's over there. So, you know, maybe it's so you go, you know, Starling City to Coast City to Hawaii to Lian Yu to Hong Kong and then over to Nanda Parbat. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a simple 12 or 14 hour flight.
Okay. Right?
She probably flies coach. I don't know.
Coach, you don't think they have a little special, you know, first class passes or anything for
League of Assassins Airlines or something like
yeah.
that? So she's upset because, you know, Roz is offering the league to Oliver over blood, and she, you know, she's really accusing her dad of punishing her for this relationship. I think she doth protest too much. Here's a character. She was in a relationship with Sarah, and she says, oh, my dad doesn't approve. And he's like, no, I always approved. I just didn't want, you know, your heart to get broken, you know, in any fashion. It's not that I minded you having a, you know, same sex relationship. I mean, at least that's, you know, that's what he says.
Do you buy that? I didn't buy that at all. I mean, he said that to her, but
I don't know. I keep feeling like she's making the big deal out of it. Like he's like, you know, I mean, he may just be saying that, you know, it's like, you know, like he really doesn't like it, but he's like, no, it's fine. But you know that he really hates it. I don't know that I'm getting that because she keeps saying, but you really didn't want this to happen. And he's like, no, it was fine. She's like, aha, see. And he's like, what? No, I didn't want you to, you know, because what did he say in this one? It wasn't that he didn't want her to get hurt. It was that he, I can't remember how he put it in this one. But, you know, it was a variation on that. I mean, and, you know, it's, you don't want your, you know, you want to protect your kids. And, you know, if I'm going to go to all the trouble to become the head of the League of Assassins, I really don't want to get my kids hurt because that will not look good on my resume.
Okay, but could you be more protected than in the League of Assassins? I mean, you're the you're surrounded by the deadliest warriors in the world. Your dad is the deadliest warrior in the world, and he's trained you to become one of the deadliest warriors. I mean,
and
how
you're
safe
dating
does
one
he...
of the deadliest warriors.
Yeah, there you... Okay, see, I don't know. How safe does she need to be? I don't know. I still don't know. I don't think he was okay with it. Maybe not for any reason other than he didn't want his daughter to have anyone or something. I don't know. But
well, maybe that is also part of his test. I mean,
oh yes, yes, yes.
He's a twisted bastard, right? I mean, just the fact that you know you're leading this group that you know runs around the world righting wrongs. Not necessarily wrongs that people have asked you to write, but, you know, you're living by your own moral and philosophical code, which, you know, might align with what a majority of people agree on, but you're not going to be able to please everybody, and someone's going to say, you know, you're doing things for the wrong reason, even though you may think you're right. But, you know, maybe he's, like, trying to coddle her so much. And, you know, if she accepts that, then, well, obviously she's not fit material to run the league because, oh, you want to take care of me? Okay, fine, take care of me. You know, so he says, I want to take care of you. And she fights back and, you know, bites and kicks and scratches and stuff like that. And it's like, all right, well, this is the kind of spunk that I need in someone to run the league.
Yes, that's, I agree with
that's
that.
That's a possibility right there.
Where's Mrs. Al Ghul in all this? She needs to give her some motherly advice.
Yeah. Well, someone needs to clean up this castle.
Oh, man.
What? Sorry. No, I didn't mean it that way. I didn't. So, and then finally, probably the biggest prize for father-daughter dysfunctionality with at least a long history of substance abuse goes to Laurel and Quentin Lance. So, he loves her, but he can't forgive her. So, wow. I mean, she's very... I like her style in this episode. She comes and she's like, I know how this is going to work. You're going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to take you out to dinner, then you're going to blow up at me, and I know I deserve it, so just go ahead and yell at me now. It's a great way to diffuse your angry parent by coming at him like that. But, you know, he stays strong. It's like, I cannot trust you after this. And it's, I mean, this whole Sarah's dead, Sarah's not dead, Sarah's off backpacking somewhere, but secretly Sarah's dead, but nobody's telling him that. He's really taken that hard, and he's taking it out on everybody. I'm sure I would not want to be his assistant in the precinct because they are probably getting yelled at all the time for no reason.
Yeah, but you know, he's taking it out on the people that lied to him. I mean, he's taking it out on Oliver and Laurel.
But, well, he's taking it out on the Arrow. Yeah, because he doesn't know.
Oh, yeah,
Oliver,
yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, Arrow. And, yeah. And all, but did you know that Oliver is the Arrow?
Yeah, I can see, who else has got those cheekbones? I mean, come on.
He never shaves. Oliver never shaves, you know.
What? That'd be funny if Oliver shaves one day and all of a sudden the Arrow's clean shaven. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't see this.
And that's how he finds out, huh?
That's how he finds out.
Oh, well, I guess time to grow to goatee.
And, you know, and of course, you know, it was just, we were just at a point with these characters where they were, you know, Quentin Lance, you know, basically helped his daughter back up, and now she is becoming such a strong person, and he's falling apart, and I feel that maybe the end of the season is going to, it'll be her turn to carry her father for a little bit and look after him. I can't see that Dinah, the mom, is going to come back in at any point here. I mean, they haven't announced that the actress is coming back or anything like that, but I don't feel that there's going to be any use. I didn't really like her when she came on last time. She just kind of came on to, you know, confirm that Sarah was really dead. Which I don't know. I felt that was kind of useless.
They're not using Alex Kingston as well as they could.
Yeah.
I understand. There's so many talented people on this show. It's hard to use everybody, but yeah. Still.
Anything else with Laurel and Quentin that you wanted to touch on? Or
as far as Quentin goes, you have to kind of think about whether he's right or not. With the arrow, I mean, he tells him, he says, you know what, all my life I had a sense of morals and ideals, and you made me forget those. You know, you made me go against what I've believed my whole life, and I can't believe you did that. And I mean, he's got a point. He's got a really strong point. Even if Oliver is not necessarily wrong because of he kind of got forced into the situation that he's in, you know, Oliver being a vigilante and doing what he's doing. And granted, he's trying to become a better hero, but Lance is more right. I mean, he's a cop and he's got to follow the law and he's got to do what he believes is right. So, I just made me think about what he said and where the character is going to go from here, because man, once you realize you're doing something bad or something that you think is against your own soul, it's hard to go back.
Yeah. Well, and Star City is definitely not Gotham, right? In that sense where, you know, we've seen Commissioner Gordon, you know, there's so much corruption around him that he feels the only way that he can get through all that is to work with the Batman to make things right. Things aren't that bad. There's no real corruption in the police department. They have a huge crime issue, and obviously they need to get a whole bunch of better aldermen and DAs and stuff like that because they keep getting killed.
Well, don't get better ones then. Get worse ones.
Well, but no, they got to keep – the thing is, as Oliver was saying, everybody they put in jail is getting out. So they have a huge revolving door justice system, which – I mean, really, personally, I think Lance needs to work on that. And also, you know, he just lost maybe, I don't know, I don't want to give a percentage. I was going to say like a quarter of his police force here that got shot, but I'm sure more than that. But, I don't know, maybe there were like 10 guys, I think, that got killed.
I'd say.
By Murmur and his gang.
Mm-hmm.
Murmur.
Murmur.
that's how he pronounces his name.
That's his name's actually like, you know, Richard or something. But
no, I see your point that, you know, probably the worst thing that can happen to somebody is to feel that they've compromised their belief system, and that you're right. I mean, that's where. Lance is at the moment.
And... Well, I just think it's interesting where he's going to go. And, you know, I can't remember, you know, you talk about Commissioner Gordon and stuff, and I don't know of a character that they've really done in comics that has, gone one way and started helping a superhero like Commissioner Gordon or something, and then gone back on him and said, you know what, no, this is wrong. I can't think of another character like that. That's kind of interesting.
That's not a superhero unto themselves, probably. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. So, well, anyway, a lot of interesting stuff to chew on. First time I watched this episode, everything that Oliver and Ra's al Ghul were talking about, I was just like, I can't even comprehend all this. I mean, because they were talking in so many metaphors, it seemed like. I was just like, maybe I was tired too, but you know, I was just like, I kind of let the first viewing wash over me, and I actually watched it three times now because I was watching it with my family tonight before we recorded, and you know how everything's coming together. This is probably one of the more densely layered episodes. It wasn't as action packed as some others, but. It's a nice starting point, a nice push off for the remaining eight episodes, the remaining eight episode run to the season finale here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think this one is the one that kind of sets up where we're going to go to the end. You know, it's going to set up everything.
Yeah. And like I was saying at the beginning of the show, I think it's going to be Ra's al Ghul here through the remainder of the season. So, and hopefully we'll see some more Amanda Waller. Well, actually, you know what? I take that back. We may see Amanda Waller next week because I believe the squad Task Force X is due to return, along with some other cool stuff that's going on.
Cool.
But before we go, we've got one piece of feedback here I did want to touch on. This is an email that came in from Jose. He said, first, I need to say you guys have the best Arrow podcast in the business. I used to listen to three other Arrow podcasts to get different views on the show, but over time, those shows became annoying while you have remained the best. I like your knowledge on the background of the comic book, which other shows do not have, and is another reason I only listen to your podcast.
Thanks, Jose.
That's awesome.
You're the man. Thank you.
We're just doing our thing. I'm glad that people are liking it, though. So he goes on to say, I'd like to make some observations on my own that you've mentioned on your podcast. I'm pretty sure season four will be in Russia because Oliver is a, quote, captain in the Russian mob and that he speaks fluent Russian. This is when we were before the break when we were talking about the flashbacks and where they, you know, what else they've got to do since Oliver's in Hong Kong and everything. He says, we meet Anatoly on the island in season two, but doesn't spend enough time with him to learn the language and become a Russian mobster. And then he goes on to say, Malcolm Merlyn will not be killed. He's too entertaining of a character to be killed. Makes sense. That's what we're seeing in this episode here, Jose. He gets brought back just so he can be included and be lying on the couch giving advice to everybody.
Wearing a hoodie.
Yeah.
That's with the hoodies on all our superhero shows these days. All right, Charles, sorry.
Jose says he might go to jail by the end of season five, but not killed. Malcolm to Arrow is the equivalent of Lex Luthor to Superman, Joker to Batman, or Kingpin to Daredevil. As much as you hate the main villain, he is the main villain for the 5 years. You talked about how Nyssa might react to finding out that Oliver was offered leadership of the league. The real question is, how will Malcolm react? His reaction, I feel, will be the biggest from everyone on Team Arrow. One last thing. I predict Arsenal will leave Team Arrow and join the Titans in the future. I think it will be the end of season four or five. I'd like to see the expansion of the team. Keep up the great work. You two guys keep making the best podcast. And his reference to the Titans, there is rumor that they are looking to make a Teen Titans live action show on TNT next season. Which will include some characters. It is not going to be produced by the same people that are doing Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl, even though Supergirl's on CBS, which is the owner of the CW. So there probably would not be any crossover with that, and it would probably be a show that would take place on its own. So there. And we kind of did see Malcolm's reaction here, but I think there's room for more as he sees what's going on because he's obviously kind of out of it in the, recuperating from his injury. So I'm sure we definitely will see more from Malcolm here at the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope so. I like him.
Well,
he needed a little bell, you know, like every time he needed something from Thea, just.
They can put him in a wheelchair like Uncle Tito in Breaking Bad, and he can just ring the bell every time he needs something. Ding, 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 ding. So, we had a couple references, not really a lot of stuff that hasn't already been discussed. We did get confirmation, even though they didn't call it the Lazarus Pit, we got the Healing Waters referencing that it was also the Fountain of Youth, which Ponce de Leon was seeking, and... Also, it was mentioned in the Quran, and so we see that. And then Murmur, who is the villain of the week, which seems like he may actually be around for a little bit longer than that, based on a preview. He actually is a Flash villain. He debuted in a series called Flash Iron Heights back in August of 2001. And
you know, that dude that played him was also the he was on Smallville. He was one of the first. Villains, I guess, affected by the meteor in Smallville. I don't know if
he
was from the actor, but
okay, cool. All right, so well, that is all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice, and we hope you will join us again next week.
Yes, and next week we hope you will enjoy that one, and we hope you've enjoyed this one. So if you did, make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes. And also, hey, you know, get a hold of us like Jose did. We really like hearing from you, especially when you tell us how great we are. So we keep that up. That's great. Email us at greenjustice@randomchatter.com or visit Twitter at greenjusticepod and throw us something in 140 characters or less. Or you can go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
I really enjoyed that, Josh. That was great. And if you enjoyed what Josh just said, you can also enjoy checking out our other shows that we enjoy, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast on the often enjoyable randomchatter.com. All these shows are also available in the enjoyable iTunes store and through Stitcher for enjoyable Android and iOS Enjoy.
I enjoy iTunes.
And of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed the city. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.